Leisai.
Pesach.
Baruch Hashem, we went through Purim. We had a show. I have to get excited. So we did Purim and Baruch Hashem. I didn't manage to get drunk. I don't know why. I was drinking and drinking and drinking. But the point is not to get drunk. The point is to get happy. And we did.
The point is to open up the connection to
Hashem. Yeah, and so Baruch Hashem, it was good. It was beautiful. It was very nice. And now so someone asked me something. I gave you a nice word from Purim. Someone asked me. Tell me a nice word. He said, we know it says in the Pasuk, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, V'Al Hashem Yerushalayim. Right? The Torah begins, everything begins here in Yerushalayim. So how come on Purim, the first day is for the whole world, only the second day is in Yerushalayim? It should be the opposite. The first day should be here. Everything begins in Yerushalayim. So we explain, and no, we don't understand. Really, the first day of Purim is the 15th, like we do in Yerushalayim. And the Purim goes on through the whole year, and the last day, the whole world also gets some of it. That's the 14th of the next Adam. And then we begin again on the 15th of Adam. So, really everything begins in Yerushalayim.
So what you're saying is that the Purim is killed, Yom Kavashi was left over from the previous year.
Exactly, it's Simcha left over. The vote!
Who's?
It's a Chassidus Shavuot.
Who came up with that way?
It's Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, so everything begins from Yerushalayim. Tav Chaf Tes Shulchan Aruch with Piskei Teshuvos over here. Go through as much as we can things which are practical we're going to learn, things which are not practical we're not going to learn. We're going to learn about learning the halachas. We're not going to learn about how to make matzahs, because I'm not into that. I don't know how to do that. Never did it before. Maybe this year I will do it.
It's good fun.
Yeah, but Rav Hashem, we're going to learn at least, Tom. The first halacha is, Shalim, Yichot, Pesach, Odin, La Pesach, Shloshim, Yom. Right? 30 days before Pesach, since Pesach has a lot of halachas, as you can see, as everyone knows, a lot of halachot. So 30 days before Pesach, we already start dealing with the Pesach, We learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu. Especially with Pesach. Every Chag is good, but especially Pesach, we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. That he, 30 days before Pesach Sheni, he started already teaching that there'll be Pesach Sheni, which was a Pesach Rishon. He taught a Pesach Sheni. So it's 30 days before. So Pesach has a lot of, besides the cleaning. Today, a lot of us have separate pots for Pesach, and separate oven for Pesach, and separate stove for Pesach, and separate this for Pesach. Okay, but a lot of us still don't. And sometimes we have to kosher things. It takes time. It takes time, these things. And also the cleaning, the kitchen, and covering, I don't know, the whole thing. Okay, so we have to know the halacha as well. That's all. We start early. Okay. The main thing is to know practically that you have to get rid of all the chametz in the house and to burn the chametz. The Chazon Ish used to start cleaning the house for Pesach on the night of Dikas Chametz. That's how you do Dikas Chametz. First of all, he didn't have any kids at home. Second of all, he knew the halachas and he had boys come and do it for him. And he did the whole house, kitchen, everything. And Erev Pesach and Dikas Chametz. That's the main thing is Dikas Chametz. Right? Everything that we do before is to prepare for that night. Okay, especially if you have kids at home, or grandchildren, or whatever, small kids coming around, nieces, nephews coming around. And there's kids, like I saw my daughter, I hit in the box with the clips for the laundry, I saw a pancake the other day. How did he get there? The 2-year-old obviously took it around the house. Or she takes her stuff in the books, like behind the bookshelves. So you have to check well. It's not even going to help if I clean there. I have to check again. And the Dikas Chametz to go around to move the books that she can reach. She's a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. 2 shelves or 3 shelves, whatever. And move everything out. And look with the candles. It's not good enough to say. Okay? You have to check. What chashuv?
But if you have 18-year-olds, so they should be responsible.
They should do the work. Yeah.
The chance of an 18-year-old putting a cookie in the shoe.
My 7-year-old daughter, she brought shalach manis to someone, so they gave her this candy, whatever, which was 100% chametz, pesach zman or whatever. Where did she put it? In her drawer in the bedroom. We cleaned the room for Pesach already, right?
Of course.
In the drawer in the bedroom, because there are no one, her siblings are not going to look there. Okay, so these things are there. Besides that, I'm closing their closet completely, all the toys, everything. I had two toys out, there's one clean, there. 1 week, they don't have toys, so what? But because I can't track it, I can't. Impossible, you can, where they put the things, like. So Yifshah, the shoes. That's very important to check. We'll see, to check the kids, especially the kids, also us, but especially the kids, their coats.
Their pockets.
Their pockets. And they put wafers, they put beastly. My daughter now, my two-year-old, is into putting things in her pockets now. It's a thing. Kitzu okay? That's why we have to start before in the Lashem.
So by tomorrow, we should get rid of all the shlach manot.
Lat, you might get a stomachache to get rid of it. Minah liknot chitim lechalkan la'aniim lezorach pesach v'chol mishdar ba'ir v'chodesh tzarich liten laze. There's a minag to buy wheat to give out for la'aniim before Pesach, which is called kimcha de pischa. Okay? And anyone who lives in the city for 12 months, or if he moved to the city and is planning on staying in the city, even if it's less than 12 months, he's obligated to contribute money to this cause. It's a choyva. You must give money to this cause in the city that you live in, and the neighbor that you live in, the city that you live in. Yeah? Not to come to, if you live in Efrat, you don't come to Yerushalayim and give. You could also give here, but your obligation is to give in the place where you live. Everyone gives in their place. In your place, you give wherever you want also, but especially also in your place, and or in the community, can. There's always a rabbi who's taking care of this. It's a very important halacha, kimcha de pischa, okay? And the aniim benefit from this. You don't have to buy. You don't have to buy wheat. You don't have to give people wheat. You don't have what to do with it. Okay? Yeah. You can give them matzahs. You can give them money, and they have what to do with it. It's a big mitzvah. Okay, and it helps a lot. There's a lot of expenses on the Pesach.
Or you can give them these little cards that are
to buy in
buying in Rami Levi or
right.
Or
you can also buy cards, so if you don't want them to spend the money on
the electricity,
they're
just near their home.
Can they don't have to travel over the?
You give them card for Yesh, and there's no Yesh within 3 miles of where they live.
It's not worth it. Okay. Some people don't want to give money because they say that people are going to use it for their debts or for their electricity or whatever. And they want the people to buy food. Okay, it's a dina de gemara. Okay.
Was a few years ago in Beitar, there was a greengrocer. There were several the needy families had debts of several hundred shekels.
Debts?
Yeah. He would go as a cartesian, he'd buy on a credit.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody came in and says, "You have people with debts here? Yes. Give me a list." And he paid the debts of most of those families. They helped the families and helped the greengrocer.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. So now, if there's a guy, a poor guy, and he wants to eat certain matzahs which cost a lot of money. So he wants the city to give him the money to buy the expensive matzahs. Okay? And he wants 200 shekel kilo matzahs. And he eats only that during Pesach, and he wants now 7 kilos. No, you have to give him or not. So it brings that to the situation, okay? That you don't have to give him. But if it's the minhag of his family, that's what he does. So if Shai can give them, I don't know if you have to give him all the kilos that he uses. By the way, Chabad always have a mechira, very mehudar matzahs, and not expensive at all. I buy by them almost every year, 95 shekels a kilo for hand, which is not expensive for hand matzah.
But they are hard.
Right, you can buy the thinner ones. Those are not so that thin, but the thinner. You're right, they're hard.
We bring matzahs every year at less price than what their normal prices.
Yeah?
Very good. The Tunisian matzahs.
Uh-huh. So
but not
not hard,
not wooden boards.
Okay.
They don't break when you look at them. They're sort of in the
Okay. Now, when we give the anim money, you give them in a way that they'll be able to do Pesach berachava. Not that they'll be okay. So we have 1 kilo matzah for the whole Pesach. Good. So we can use half of matzah. There's that. Okay. We have a little bit of meat, a little bit of wine. No. That they'll be able to buy. Buy whatever they need, whatever they want, not even need, whatever they want for their chag. Okay, they should have shefa. Okay? And the gabbai tzedakah, they know how to do that. That's their job. Like, minak balebati chashubim, where Bnei Chorin, there's a famous story of, I think, the Briskerov, I think it was, that someone came to him and he asked him before Pesach if he could do. The four cups of the Seder and milk. It's a famous story.
Yeah.
And he said, it's a difficult question, I'm going to have to answer you later. And then he leaves and he tells his wife, send over all the food, make new food. And he said, his wife asked him, why? He said, if the person is asking him about milk, you can imagine he doesn't have any fish, doesn't have any chicken, doesn't have any meat, doesn't have nothing for Pesach. Maybe he has matzahs of milk, that's all he has, so we have to give him everything. Okay? So, the mitzvah, the gabbai tzedakah, they have a feeling, hopefully. And if you know of someone in the neighborhood who's needy, so you call the gabbai and you tell them, this and this family, they're needy. This and this family, they're needy. Help them. And they do. Okay. Tough. Yafemod, say them. Says in the Mishabur brings down that if someone who's mishtamet, who does not want to give them the money for kim for the pischa, avon be adam, he has a sin. It's almost a sin. So almost can. It's so important. So important to mishtamech v'anim. Just imagine what you could sit there at the table and everything. It's a famous story. I read a story. I don't know if it's so famous. Maybe it's not so famous anymore. And now it will be more famous. A story, I think it was in Bnei Brak. There was a guy, and every year, he had a list of widows and needy people and that. And he used to personally make sure that they had everything for the Seder night. So, now, he's doing it for years, 15 years he was doing it. And then, this organization came in and said, we're taking over, we're doing a big thing, we're giving it everyone, mamash, whoever needs. But this Rav told him, listen, I know who needs. I can give you the list, but I make sure personally, I go to their house to see how they had everything. And it's a big organization. When there's a big organization, things always come through. You know, it's not 100%. It's not sealed. It's a big. So, no, they tell. He said, fine. Give us the list. Fine. So, he gave me the list. What happened is like this. On the Seder night, his daughter, he had a daughter, she fainted. He rushed to the hospital. His Seder night was destroyed. There was no Seder night. And afterwards, she was okay. Nothing. And he was wondering what the problem is. And what did he find out? That one widow that every year he made sure to take care of her
didn't get.
That she did not get. And she was crying at Seder night. So from Shammai, they made him not to have a Seder night. And how important it is that Amma.
I hope you get organization all the head.
Okay. Even if he gives them the work, he still had to have an obligation, I guess, from Shammayim to go and make sure that at least the people that he was responsible for, to make sure that they got. Not to just trust that they know what they're doing. Because when it's a bigger organization, and not everything comes.
They start picking and choosing.
They're
between the chairs.
Okay.
You know that.
It's mod chashuv to tamash, that the people, it's hard for them to make the Seder, to make sure that they can make the Seder. Especially with the matzahs and meat and good wine, not the cheap 15 shekel wine, stop pouring. It's Pesach, you only drink core 4 cups, you need to have good wine. By the way, a good wine, all Ganus have very good wine. It's expensive, it's like 70 shekels a bottle. It's a good wine. Last year I bought it from Pesach, it was really good. Smooth wine, red wine. So, Beseder, now, Alacha Bez, En Noflim Al Pneim Bechol Chodesh Nisan, the whole month of Nisan, we do not fall on our faces, meaning we do not say Tahanun from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which will be on Shabbos, until after Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Yeah, we don't say Tahanun at all, and we don't say Tzitkascha B'Shabbos and Mincha. We don't say Tzitkascha. And we don't make eulogies. And we don't fast. Even Tanis B'Cholos, we try not to fast. We make efforts to go to Siyumim and stuff, the fast of the first ones. And even days of Yahrzeit, which people are have the custom to fast, with a minhag not to fast. And, yeah. And we don't say, on Erev Pesach, we don't say Mizmor L'Todah. Mizmor L'Todah is a Mizmor 100 in Tehillim, which we say in Pesukah Dezimah. We don't say it on Erev Pesach. Why not? Because it's connected Korban Todah. The first part of Korban Todah we can't bring, we say this Mizmor Todah. And they brought the Korban Todah with bread, chametz. So, when you say Mizmor Todah, then you have to bring Korban with chametz, and by then, afterwards, you can't have chametz anymore. Okay? So, Mimela, you don't say Mizmor Todah.
It should be bread made from sorghum.
Okay. Mother sorghum.
It's a wheat.
Hmm? It's not wheat.
Not wheat?
No. Sorghum is not one of the five grains.
What is it?
It's rows are like a grass thing, but it's not one of the five grains.
So? And you can make bread, and what's bracha? Shaka.
No, it's not. It's
Shalkol. Yeah. And you don't say Lam Natzeach. Can? Yeah. And also the day after Pesach, it's called Istruchal. The minhag is to have more simcha than usual. Yeah. Why don't we say Tachan the whole Pesach? Says the Mishneh Berurah, the whole Nisan. Ipnei sheshneim asar nisim ikribu b'shneim asar yamim kol yimei hakorban hayom tov shelo. Can? The 12 nisim.
The princes of the tribe, when the
Mishkan was first built, so they brought the korbanot, each one on his own day, and there was a yom tiv for him. It was like a chag for each one, so it was a chag. So don't zitach. So 12 days already, we don't zitach because of that. El Pesach we don't say because he bring korban Pesach. It's like a chag. Isul chag the day after Pesach we also don't say. 7 days of Pesach.
Obviously.
We also obviously don't say, right? How much is that? More than half a month. If more than half a month is without Tachanun, the whole month is without Tachanun. That's the rule. That's why also Tishrei is without Tachanun. The month of Tishrei is also without Tachanun for the same reason. I had a question, because by me personally, Sivan, the month of Sivan, was without Tachanun most of the month. Because 6 days before Matan Torah, 5 days before Matan Torah, and Matan Torah, and Yisrul Chag, it's 7 days, there was no Tachanun. And then, 6 days afterwards, they also don't say Tachanun. Why? Because you can still bring the Korban of Shavuot. Mm-hmm. And then I got married right away. So another 7 days didn't say Tachanun. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, but they told me that no, I have to say, because it's a personal. Exactly, it's not a general simcha, it's just a personal simcha. Just a personal simcha. So, and also another thing we don't do on Nisan.
So in order to have a whole month where you don't say Tachanun, you would have had to marry two women. First one, a week later the other. Then we'd have a whole month without Tachanun.
Let's keep it by one. It's a good answer. Another thing, and Chodesh Nisan, we don't go to cemeteries. Only for kibbutz tzaddikim, yeah, but not for relatives. So if someone has a azkara, he has a yahrzeit, on Nisan, you don't go on Nisan, you go before Nisan. Okay? You go before Nisan. Not on Nisan. It's a month of happiness, and someone comes to a grave of a relative, and he starts crying, and gets all emotional. We don't want that to happen on a Chodesh Nisan. So How we go before?
It's okay for Kevin Ruckel or...
Yeah. I can't keep it to the other personal relatives. Relatives of a person. Yeah, has a son, a daughter, a parent. Right? A wife, husband. People he's close with. Can... What are we talking about? If someone's getting married before Pesach, and he's Ashkenazi, and his minhag is to fast before the wedding, the day of the wedding. So even if it's about a month of Nisan, he could also fast. Yeah. Good. Okay. On Erev Pesach, you get up for Nitz, okay? You don't have to go for Nitz, but you get up early. You dive in early. Why? Because you have to eat before, and you have to burn the chametz before a certain hour. On Erev Pesach, you get up early. Chatzos, okay, a little bit. Top, vital. Let's see what he adds here. Yeah, so we go on Erev Hashchodesh. He says here we go on Erev Hashchodesh to graves if we need to. Okay, so now it depends. If a person is already 20 years since his parents died, he has already no emotions, Akorba said that he's over it. Can start up. So he could also go on the month of Nisan. What else does he say here? Why do we have Yisrul Chag? Why do we do Yisrul Chag the day after Pesach? In Chutz Lars they don't have Yisrul Chag, right?
Right.
Yisrul Chag is the second day, but in Eretz Yisrael they would have Yisrul Chag. What's the whole point? So he says here. According to the RV, there's a special light that continues also that day, another day. And there's some communities that they even wear Shabbos clothing. Like here in the Yerushalmi, a lot of them wear Shabbos clothing, I saw. You don't have to. Again, some people do. And what's the whole point? The whole reason was that the day after the Regel, the holiday, people went home from Yerushalayim full of happiness and joy that they had the schus to be in Beis Hamikdash, to do the korbanot and everything. So therefore, it's like a happy time. Okay? There's a minag for the first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan to read the korbanot and nisiim, to read the part portion of the Torah that talks about the korbanot, right? The sacrifices that the princes of each tribe brought. You can read it from a siddur. Some people take out after the minyan, take out a sefer Torah, and they just read it. The sefer Torah, but there's a minyan like that. Okay. We do it after davening. The siddur. Now we're gonna go on. So, by the way, this Shabbos is called Shabbos Parshas Parah. Yeah, because we read the portion of Parah Aduma. The red heifer, okay, that in Beis Hamikdash, Bezrat Hashem, will be soon. So they slaughter it, they burn it, they mix it with special water, and they sprinkle it on all of us, so we become purified from contamination of the dead. Tumas Meis. That's the only way. So before Beis Hamikdash, before we can bring the Korban Pesach to Beis Hamikdash, we have to be purified. That's why we lay in the Parshas Parah to remind us. Some places can say it's Deoraisa. Therefore, make sure to hear every word and to be in shul and everything the Shabbos. Women are not obligated to go to shul to hear it. If they could go to shul because they don't have kids running around, it's good for them that they're able to go to get to shul and hear it. But they shouldn't go crazy about it. They should try if they could. If they're able to, very good, very nice. If not, don't know. It's not like Zohar, which is more serious. Cool. Now, and afterwards, by the way, which the week after will be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's Parshas HaChodesh. We read about that the month of Nisan is the first month of the month, the head of all months. Right? That's the month that we became a nation, also is a Nisan. Okay. And afterwards, we're in the middle of cleaning afterwards.
What about his food?
Every day, an hour at least, an hour a day. But that's the main cleaning.
Naptam.
How could you take up? What about breathing? Can we take off breathing when we're cleaning?
No.
Yipsha, so you can't take off any poses.
Blessing for the trees.
Soon. Right. Everything's blooming now beautifully. I went to the field on Shabbos with the kids. All the flowers and the tree, everything's gorgeous. It was gorgeous out so much. Beautiful now. Now is the time to go see. Yeah, this kalaniot. You know kalaniot? The red flower with black inside. Beautiful. Yeah. Now, Shabbos before Pesach, this week is easy. It's going to be a week before Pesach. We have a whole week before Pesach. Pesach is on Shabbos this year. It's like the year Rabbeinu was born. Rabbeinu was born on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, like this year. And Tavkuf Lamed Beis.
It's over.
What?
It's over. Shabbos too. The last day of Pesach.
The last day is on Shabbos. It's on, and Chuzla is on Shabbos. First on Friday.
He's
going
on Chodesh. Chodesh.
Pesach is Friday. Last day. The last day is Thursday night, Friday, but then it goes into Shabbos here, right?
Right. So
we're going to be Pesach Dick still on Shabbos. We don't have any chametz.
I'm fine on Sunday.
Are you going back to Chutzlars? What's going on?
Yeah.
I thought you were just there.
I was.
What's going on?
This is a year of lots of travel. I have to go. My grandson's bar mitzvah.
Oh, Shah Tova. Mazal Tov. I'll be nachat yishirat. Shemir to see him getting married, with health and everything. To a Jewish girl, v'simcha v'tu levav. That's when the wedding's going to be here.
No, the
mitzvah will be there, and the wedding will be here. Okay. And then find a nice girl who wants to get married in Eretz Yisrael.
Absolutely.
Amen. So the Shabbos before Pesach, which is the week before Pesach this year, is called Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Shabbos. Yeah? Why is it called Shabbat HaGadol? There was a miracle that happened on Shabbos. What happened on Shabbos? You know what happened? The Jews tied their lambs to the foot of the bed, the leg of the bed, and they did, and all the gun came.
And the Egyptians, that
what are you doing? They said, oh, we're gonna slaughter them soon.
And they couldn't do anything.
They had some fear that prevented them from doing anything bad to the Jews, and they were the masters. The Jews were the slaves. Well, they were after a year of beating up, but still, they were the masters. That was a great miracle that happened. And the minhag is to say by mincha, mincha should be a bit earlier that Shabbos. And there's a minhag to read a portion of the Haggadah, part of the Haggadah that we say, it's brought in the Siddur to say part of the Haggadah on that Shabbos. Part of the Haggadah that we say, and every Siddur has it at the end. It's just a minhag, don't kill yourself over it, but it's a good thing to do. Yeah. Also, there's a minhag of Drashat Shabbat HaGadol. The Rav speaks. Okay? So, it used to be that the Rav used to teach all the halachas and everything. But today, people learn the halachas alone, or they come to my shir, or something like that. But, so therefore, a lot of times now, the Rav, he doesn't talk halacha. He talks a little bit of halacha. He talks a lot of stuff that have to do with Pesach, not only halacha. Okay, good cheer, something. Okay. It depends on the crowd, depends on the. And who he's talking to. Each rab could do his own thing. Yeah, let's see if he adds anything interesting over here. So doesn't add so much. Top. Since Pesach is coming fast, and we're not going to have too many classes till Pesach. Just from now until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so exactly 10 classes with today's, plus 8 classes with today's. Okay, so why? Because I give 4 classes a week, 2 weeks is 8 classes.
and stop coming?
You can come as much as you want. I stop coming.
Oh, you stop coming?
Yeah. I go home to clean. And there might be other personal things that happen in the middle, in Mirtz Hashem. And then I'm going to have to even maybe cut even more. So let's do as much as we can. Allah Hanam. Stand up. Forgive me, I'm doing a lot of Allah. It's okay? Good.
Any questions about cleaning, just go to JerusalemCast.com, click on the right hand side.
We have last year's also?
It's up.
But this year's much better than last year. You know why? Because it's this year.
No, but I have the whole sheets on, you know, preparation.
For cleaning, yeah. Very good, you know, very good.
Checklists and everything else like that.
Okay. The time of Bdikas Chametz. When do you do Bdikas Chametz? When do you check the for Chametz? First of all, just to explain very clearly, everyone should hear well, that when we're doing Bdikas Chametz, we're not looking for crumbs. We're looking for Chametz. Not crumbs. Crumbs are not asul to have in the house. You don't want to have it in the house, but they're not asul to have in the house. They are still living in the kitchen because you're eating there. But if you have crumbs under the bed in the bedroom, you're not over on any isul. You're not over on any privilege. It's mutal to have crumbs of challah under your bed and isul. It's mutal. Okay?
So you're talking about something more than the kazayis.
Exactly. Or something, even if it's smaller than the kazayis, that someone might shove into his mouth on Pesach. Like a piece of a biscuit. Even if it's not, it's less than the kazayis. Someone might eat it. That's the problem. But crumbs are not asul to have in the house on Pesach. So when we're talking about Bdikas Chametz, we're not looking for crumbs on Bdikas Chametz. We're looking for Chametz on Bdikas Chametz. Okay? Something big enough that someone could shove in his mouth. Okay? And if you couldn't find it, we nullify it anyways. So when do we do Bdikas Chametz? Yudaled Benistan. This Mishnah says this. Bodkim et ha-chametz, zeh ha-ner, v'cholim v'zdakim, v'cholim 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 v'cholim. In the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, meaning the end of the 13th of Nisan, when the beginning of the 14th come in, that's when we do Bdikas Chametz, and we use a candle light. Why a candle light? Because one light can lights better than if you have like a light like that and it's not focused on a specific place. When you have one, could you use a flashlight? Yes, you could. But some people say that you at least start with a candle and then go on to a flashlight. Especially if you're not going to check well because you're afraid to burn all the clothing in the closet.
Or your beard.
Or your beard or whatever. So start, so light a candle and say the bracha and start looking around and then and turn on a flashlight. And look around like that, but not with the light of the fixtures, because that makes shades. You have light coming down from there, and you don't see what goes on in the closet and in the corners. So if you have a flashlight, you see what goes on.
Also, okay? More light down low. If there's like a piece of bone or something like that, it'll cast a shadow behind
right.
It.
So you're going to realize there's something there.
And you realize there's
something. Very good. I remember my father, he 1 year, I was a kid, he was checking with the candle. Then my brother said, I want to check under the bed. And the bed went up in flames. Mm-hmm. I remember this as a kid. I remember my mother was in the bedroom nursing the baby, or whoever the baby was, one of us. It wasn't me, I was older. And my brother was, fire, fire! And my brother screaming, fire, fire! And Baruch Hashem, my father got a bucket and he turned it out, but the bed was destroyed. But therefore, since then, the car, of course, does not do with the because it melts the fabric of the car. It melts from the heat. It doesn't even burn. It just melts.
Car.
Can. Car auto.
Okay.
So he checks only with a flashlight in places where he's afraid. You only flashlight. I don't usually. Sometimes now this year I have a good flashlight. I might use a flashlight too. But to begin, it's good to begin with a le'oneir. It says le'oneir, that's for candle. No, instead of, no.
Candles are good for burning spider webs. You know, under the bed or behind the furniture, you don't get during the year.
So where do you have to check? What?
You can buy the candle, and
Yom Kippur, Yisur, when you go to Mesherim to buy for check. You can buy candy, there's a Yom
Kippur,
and you say that.
Yes, because the minhag is that it's first of all to make money for them, and the candle a lot of times usually it's candle that doesn't drip. It's a special. It's a spoon, and the spoon is cute. It's cute.
Doesn't hold much. The spoon. We make like a little pancake piece of A4 paper, make like a little dust pan out of it. Scoop,
you know,
the
okay.
Or paper cup. And you have a knife to scratch.
Can the problem, right? If you have somewhere something is stuck on the floor, you have something to scrape it. So, where do you have to check? In the holes. Today, Baruch Hashem, most of us do not have holes in the walls, but in the holes, in the cracks. Most of us do not have cracks. In those days, it was before they used to put tiach.
Plaster?
Okay, so it was with blacks. And then you had holes and cracks, and someone might put stuff there, so you had to check all of them.
Okay, that's hard.
Okay, sorry, right. But you do not have to check where you don't put chametz. Where you might put chametz, you do have to check. Where you do not put chametz, you don't have to check. Okay? Understand what that means? Mm-hmm. That means that you have, if you have an office, that food is not allowed. Never ever. It's your office and food is not allowed in there, you don't have to check there. But if you have a place that food is allowed in there, and or, I'll give you a more practical example. Above the closet. Okay? A closet that it's a lot higher than me. You don't have to climb on the ladder and look there. You don't have to. Why? Well, you put chametz over there. Do you ever put chametz over there? You ever climb in there and decide? You ever eat up there? You stand on the thing and ate? No, you don't have to check over there. Okay, in a place where you don't put chametz, you don't have to check. Okay? So when do we start?
Well, I always have a sign for office suite. Rabbi always made me sign. I said, do I have to clean? He said, you don't have to clean. But you have to make sure everybody that has an assigned office has to clean their office. Because you're going to sell it, but you don't have to clean it. You just have to make sure that that person is trustworthy and do whatever they need to do.
For selling the chametz, you say?
Yeah.
Mm.
But so while you're cleaning the office, it's always good to take the computer out, take the cover off, and blow out all the dust. It'll lengthen the life of your computer, and especially the processor.
It's different to Eitzah for nothing to do with Pesach, but yeah. Okay. When do we start doing the Bdikas Chametz? Immediately after Marv. You go Marv, you run home, and you do the mitzvah. If the house is ready. Also, we could also, even if the house is not ready, you could say the bracha and then go clean the kitchen. No problem. That's part of the bdikas chametz. Oh, I found chametz in the kitchen. Good, now it's clean. Yeah, no baya. Baruch Hashem, I don't know, my house at least. I learned from my Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom Arush, that Erev Pesach is a day to rest, not to clean, not to cook. Not do anything. Just to rest. Prepare yourself for the Chag. Do everything before. Everything you do before. That's what Rav Arush taught us. Don't leave anything for the day of Pesach. Day of Pesach, all you have to do is go to assume if you're Bechol, if you have a Bechol, which is under 13. Burn the Chametz. And do it now with both the dudes. And rest. The house is washed, that's for sure, because you dig a summit. The food is cooked. Everything is ready, calm. Usually the only thing I have left for Pesach, and Erev Pesach, is to iron. I leave myself to iron. Even the table I set there ready before.
But my wife's going to insist that we need fresh, hot food, you know, like a hot chicken soup, a hot chicken.
It's fine. You make, you know what I do? I make I don't cook. I make the chicken soup from before. Prepare it to be cooked. Put it in the fridge the day before. And I never paste. I take it out and put it on the fire. Putting it on the fire doesn't take time.
Okay.
Yeah? Don't tell her what to do. Just tell her that the rabbi said a good advice.
Right.
She can do whatever she wants, whatever she feels comfortable with. The Seder? Seder is best at home. Ah, he's saying for when it's just two, when you were with kids and everything, so you do at home. It's very good. But when you're older, you go to your kids.
Yes, you want some people.
Okay.
Other people that would have to Seder by themselves.
And now you guys are older and alone, so you're going to go to either your kids or someone, or friends. All right, my baby every year, she goes to a different child of hers. My parents are getting to be alone. They have two left at home. Five are married, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Okay. Those are the best ones. The ones I had in my house.
Those are the best, of course. You can do whatever you want, the way you think it has to be.
I
can
tell them in a way. I said, you know, even if it's just two of us, I still like what I do the best. I mean, you go to somebody else's house.
You have to go by their ruling.
Yeah.
But you can invite people to your house.
Yeah.
Then you do by your ruling. If she's up to it, so why not? My baby, for years, she doesn't do Pesach anymore. Well, she's a widow for many years also. So she goes to us. So even before she was a widow, and my Zaidi was alive, so they came to us. They came to us.
It's different to go to your own children. That's
how we do. Also, I remember my Zaidi was alive, and they came to us. So my father told them, "Say to the head, you run the Seder." My Zaidi said, "No way, you're the Balabais." My father insisted, "No, you." And my Zaidi insisted back, "No, you." So at the end, what they did, so my Zaidi insisted, my father had a chair, like an office chair, he brought from his office a big chair for the Seder so he could lean, is that? And my Zaidi insisted, my father said, so they both sat at the head of the table, my Zaidi on a regular chair, and my father on the big business chair. And really, my Zaidi led the whole Seder. He let my father let him. No. What do you do now? He led him to the whole thing. I don't know. If my father comes to me, I would think I won't want him to lead. I want my own. I do my own things, you know? I don't know. I think he does exactly like his father did, but I don't do exactly like my father did. I do a lot more exciting. I do a very different stuff. Each one does those things.
It was fun. The kids would come home with Seder books. They came and made their own Haggadahs. So it was an incredibly long Haggadah because everybody had to read what they did in school. But, you know, they got from the rabbi and stuff.
Oh, that reminds me. We I just posted a French translation of the Haggadah of Jewish Ideas.
What's Jewish Ideas? Kahana?
How did you know that?
How do I know that? My father told me in the yeshiva.
Translated into French.
Okay. Really, according to the Torah, it's enough to say I'm nullifying all the chametz that I have. Or to check. But we do both. We check. That's what the rabbi told you. We check and we nullify all the chametz. And you can tell the chametz. That's also called nullifying the chametz. But especially nullifying is even in the heart, but we have to say. So when we finish checking and we're sure there's nothing left, and we say, and you have to say it in a language that you understand. There's no point in saying in Aramaic if you don't understand what you're saying. You can say in Aramaic because it says like that in the Gemara, and then read the translation, and if you have your wife, let's say she knows only Hebrew, or only French, or only Spanish, or whatever, can you say it in her language too? Or if you understand English, you read it in English. Can you tell them that you say it every kol chamira v'chamira, right? Chamira, every grain and every wheat and everything that I have, I'm nullifying it. It's like the dust of the earth. You say it in English. Это Рабая. Okay. So now we say, it says here, Yizayer kol adam shelatchil. Before we do that, can we set already turn off the electricity when you do it? The ma'aseh, you could even check the chametz with the flashlight, with a bracha on a flashlight even. It's a flashlight. But the minhag is to start at least with the candle and the place where you start to get worried, blow it out and go on to the flashlight. Can't say them.
Now what about sealed containers?
What about them?
Do you need to check them? I mean, they've been sealed for a whole year.
The Pesach day?
Yeah.
Why do you have to? You don't have to check. I have a closet. I have a whole closet which is Pesach. I don't check it. When everything's clean, I take everything out. You don't have to check a Pesach. Okay. Now, what about checking books on Erev Pesach? So, people go crazy. They take the books, bang them all around. Is it better advice? You could do that. I'm not telling you not to. There's a better advice. I have a friend of mine, first, he does that with one thing. He closes all the books, and he takes out specific books that he wants for Pesach. That's the books that he uses. He checks them and everything, and he has some books that he buys, especially for Pesach. Ravadia says something very, very simple to do. He says, don't bring the books to the table. What's the problem? Crumbs? You might have crumbs. Well, you might eat them. Don't bring them to the table. You won't eat them. You won't eat them. The problem is that your Pesach cannot even eat a crumb. So don't eat crumbs. Don't bring them to the table. On Pesach, we don't bring books to the table. So. Chabad do the opposite. The whole year, they don't bring books to the table. I think Ovadia has a better advice. On Pesach, don't bring books to the table. The whole year, they go crazy. On Pesach, go crazy.
What about just dusting?
Dusting is beautiful, and do it because chametz. Okay.
Because my wife wants to take all the books out just to dust them, dust the bookcase, and then put the books back.
Beautiful. It's very nice to do that. The problem with books, if there are crumbs in there, a person might do like that in the middle of learning without realizing. Okay. Now, people are working at night. What are they going to do? So, Kitzo, a person could also tell his wife, or someone who can't see, like you, Yaakov, you can't check the chametz. Can? He tells the wife to do it. She does it. It says here, Yizhaer kol adam shelo la'atchil b'shum melacha v'lo yochal ad sheyivdok. A person has to be very careful. It's brought down, and this is a Rav Magid named Toisus, which is very ancient, this halacha. That a person is at least 800 years old. A person should be careful not to begin with any malacha and not to eat before he checks. You're hungry, eat lunch. Can't eat supper before you check. And even if he has a set time to learn, he has a chavrusa, he has a shir, and shiur, and chavrusa, and klum. Now we check. Okay? And if he began to learn early, he says in the Shulchan Aruch he doesn't have to stop, but the Rambam says he doesn't have to stop. Okay? Okay. When do we stop? Half an hour before the time. 10 minutes before Shkia, you stop. You don't do anything else. You go to Shul, daven Mincha, if you didn't daven, or go to Shul, learn something until Marv, daven, and go home to check. Can you don't eat? What don't you eat? You don't eat food. You gotta eat, have an apple. You gotta have a drink. It's not a fast day. Okay, you gotta have something small to eat. Okay, fruit. You can have a feast of fruit and buy it. But if you eat bread, not more than a kibbutz. Okay, you have prosedo. What does it say here? No, we don't say Shechiyanu. Now, what happens? Oh, yeah, we didn't do that yet. One second. So, like, Vim Dikas Chametz Vobet Tzifin. The laws now, till now we spoke about checking the Chametz, checking for Chametz. Now we're going to talk about the laws of checking for Chametz. We're talking about when checking, now we're talking about how to check. For before we begin, we make a bracha. Sher Kiddushanu Mimitzvah Tzivanu Al Biur Chametz. I'm nullifying the Chametz, I'm getting rid of the Chametz. It's the bracha. Okay? Now, you must begin checking immediately without any break, especially not to talk, because if you talk between the bracha and the checking, you have to say a bracha again. Okay? So you have to say the bracha and begin checking. Okay? And it's good not to talk at all the whole time, unless it has to do with the checking. Oh, where's the fizz? Did you check here? Did you clean over here? That you let it say during the checking. Okay, but not in the beginning. In the beginning, you check. Make a bracha, go around. Okay, you began, good. Where should I check? Where did you put the 10 pieces of it? Stam, good advice by the 10 pieces, like I say every year, is to write numbers on them, a number on the paper, and write where they are.
And put them in plastic bags.
And don't put them in the kitchen. Don't put them in the kitchen. Don't put them in the kitchen. Not a good idea. Because some years they happen. People, they put out 10 and they take back 9. So you have chametz in the house. And make the pieces less than a kazayas. Why? More than a kazayas, you're either on the isu or bali roi or bali matz. Less than a kazayas. So you at least don't have that isu. Okay? What do you mean? What? Not? Oh, you can put another minute. Why not? You have to open them after this. Yeah, plus the bag is good.
What if you can't find all 10?
So you nullify it.
You nullify it. So yeah. Then. If you find it
during Pesach, you burn it.
Except on Shabbos.
Shabbos, you'll hide it, and then after Shabbos, you'll burn it. Okay. Now, if someone checked, he forgot about the bracha, and he finished checking, and now, oh, you forgot the bracha. So, you know, tomorrow, when you burn the chametz, say the bracha then. Okay?
I just have one piece of advice. Since you know you're going to look for chametz, I think it's easier if people prepare ahead of checking.
Hey, wait.
Prepare ahead of checking. In other words, if you know you're going to be putting out 10 pieces of chametz, just prepare it a day or two before. Put it in a bag, wrap it up, put it in the bag, so you have all those little pieces you're going to put throughout the house.
Because sometimes you don't have anything left when Pesach comes.
But that's why, if you start doing it at that point, you can go buy something to put out. I mean, you know, for those people that might have things to put out, I think it's a lot easier to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Than right before you start checking, start wrapping.
I tell you what, when I go to shul for Mincha Maariv, that's when my wife does it. With the kids, the girls, they run around.
Do you have to find it? Is that your job?
Yeah. And then my 2-year-old daughter, last year at least, she was. She told me where they all are, so it was easy. Maybe this year they'll explain to her, you don't tell Abba, he has to look it for himself.
I
have my own agent.
You need a tutor.
Okay, so. Yeah, with one bracha, one could check a few houses. Yeah, if you have a few houses. You have a few houses, you have a car, you have an office, you have a store, you have a house, you have two houses, you have three houses, whatever you have, yeah? Yeah? So you have to check them with one bracha. We make one bracha in a certain house that you are, and then you go on to the rest. And you don't even have to, you don't have to go personally to all the houses. You can have the people standing with you when you make a bracha, and they say amen, and then they run off to check over there. Okay? Like you said, the minhag is to put 10 pieces of bread. Why don't you put pieces of bread? Okay? It's just to make sure that if you don't find anything, so you didn't say Stein HaBracha. And even if you did not put 10 pieces, not Stein HaBracha, but it's just to make sure for those who say that it is Stein HaBracha. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, we don't say Shechiyanu. Okay, there's a few reasons why I don't. Whatever, we don't say Shechiyanu on that. Now, if someone is not going to be Pesach at home, he's going for the whole week, he's going to a hotel, he's going to family, he's not going to be home the whole Pesach. And he's not going to be there on the 14th either. He's leaving on the 12th, okay? On Yud Beis Nisan. Yud Gimel Nisan. He's not leaving on Yud Aleph Nisan. Okay? What is he going to do? He has to check the night before he leaves. He's leaving on a certain day, the night before he checks. Okay? And he does not make a bracha. Okay? And he does not put 10 pieces of bread. And he just checks. Say that?
If he's checking, that means he must clean like he was going to be there.
So the halacha is like this. You can sell the whole house, right? No, you can't. You have to leave at least one room which you clean for Pesach. And that's the room you're going to do the decor. And everything else, that's it. This is my house. Everything else I'm selling, so it's not mine. Top of Pesach. Shkach, by learning with me for a whole hour, Pesach. Tomorrow, we'll continue.